Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the summer to expand your horizons. It's time to explore. But before you set foot out the door, set foot in the ultimate travel shoes from Allbirds. Like the breathable, silky smooth tree dasher, the responsive foam and extra grip of the tree runner, or the classic low-top look of the tree piper. Allbirds has a lightweight, ultra-packable shoe ready for whatever adventures you have planned. Boarding pass? Check. Passport? Check. The perfect travel shoe? Check. Find your perfect pair at Allbirds.com. That's Allbirds.com.
Throw 'em up, lay it down just like Matt Amari. Wrestling over half up's gonna make it sorry. Feeling like The Rock, cause I'm driving in Ferraris. And we coming every weekend, it's feeling like a party. Pull up Ric Flair, huh? Showing out like Bianca Belair, huh? Best podcast, flush it in the air, huh? From the rings and we win it, don't care, huh? No cap. Throw 'em up, lay it down just like Matt Amari. Wrestling over half up's gonna make it sorry. Feeling like The Rock, cause I'm driving in Ferraris. And we coming every weekend, it's feeling like a party.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Wrestling Wrap Up Podcast. I'm your host, Mari Forge. And with me, as always, my co-host, my tag team partner, the Malik Blade to my Idris Enafe, Mr. Matt Scott. Matt, how you doing today?
Yes, we love some BBCs. Happy to be here, Mari, and doing well. Really energized as we podcast about Elimination Chamber this week.
So energized.
Happy to be here though, always with you, Mari.
Exactly. Like it has been a truly long week. I was telling you, Matt. It feels like it's been a 10-day week as opposed to five, but you know, the show must go on. Yeah. Very excited to get into the Elimination Chamber preview with you. But before, we just want to acknowledge the loss of a member from the RHAB community. Yeah. Unfortunately, our good friend Dak, also known as Daquan, Daquan Wizard, you know, he was a moderator for all of our RHAB discords and a huge bright spot in the RHAB community. He passed away this week. So we'll be honoring him throughout the episode. You'll see in the little left-hand corner, we have his avatar and a purple heart to commemorate him. And we also have in a link, Rob, our patron, the patron saint of our podcast network, Rob Sesternino, has some really nice words to say about Daquan on last night's Big Brother recap episode. So we're going to link his words about Daquan in our show notes. So please feel free to go there to listen to some really heartwarming words. But Daquan would love for us to keep going and continue, and we'll miss him deeply. And we know that he will be with us.
It's hard to, and this is something that, I mean, I don't even remember how much we said on. I know that we talked about Sean Tucker passing last month on air a little bit. And, you know, something that made me think about, and also like losing Daquan made me think about just how like there are, it's so tough to have all these like virtual relationships as it is, but also like, he was so supportive of like me, our work. I know he supported us on the Wrestling Wrap Up, and you were more in touch with him. And so I didn't know Daquan like personally. I only knew him in the sense that he was like just a fan of us and like knew who we were. And it felt like I knew him as much as like any rabid supporter and community member. And so, it just kind of sucks. And I think I'm really looking forward to like whatever it is that honors his memory in the coming weeks. And so we'll make sure to share the word about that, of course, like on our own channels. But if it aligns with an episode too, I'm sure that we'll link to just whatever it is that's remembering Daquan in our show notes.
Yes. And it just also reminds us, like, there's so many of you guys out there.
Yeah.
There's so many of us in this community and even outside of this community. It's like, we want to hear from you. You know what I'm saying? We want to get in touch with you more. And if Dak's passing can teach us anything, it's like, we're all here. We're all together. We're here to lean on each other as a community. So don't be afraid to reach out to us. Even if it's not about wrestling, if it's just, you know, just say hi, you know,
please don't make us talk about wrestling more. No, but honestly, yeah, like I think we have a good track record with responding to people, and I know some folks will like reach out and DM and have like other questions and follow up on what we say, so like feel free to do that, because we do love to hear from you. And
exactly,
you know, it's like I always put it this other way, which is like, it's great to know that people are listening. Yeah. Like the numbers, as abysmal as they might be, are not lost. So definitely, like, please reach out, and we are here for you and here with you.
So let's get into a little bit of wrestling news. I mean, again, one way to make the week seem longer, we had so much wrestling news. It was like one after the other. So many things. Yeah. I just had to stop listening at one point. Like, I think some news dropped today, and I was like, you know what? It's okay. So let's start off with, you know, some of the stuff we can get through really quickly first. So WWE announced that their takeover, which, from what I understand, they're not calling NXT takeovers. Like, they're not calling them takeovers anymore, because it's supposed to go with the rebranding of NXT 2.0. Whatever the special event is, they're going to have it on Saturday at like noon or something, right before WrestleMania Night 1. Like, it sounds like a hot mess. Like, what was the... We've talked about it before. Like, I like them splitting up WrestleMania into multiple nights, so people aren't sitting there for like eight hours and all of that. But if you're just going to then put another event before that event, it defeats the whole purpose.
Yeah, but like, if you really break it down, I mean, I won't be there in person. This is kind of the problem, where it's like, okay, most people, I mean, they bought their WrestleMania tickets. They got their packages. They know that they'll be there in person. Like, a ton of people will have to sit through this because they want to get their money's worth. But also at the same time, it's like, what does that mean for the viewer? Am I going to tune in at, what is it, noon on that day?
Noon.
And
yeah,
then
like
at
noon.
6 p.m. or 7 p.m.?
Yeah, 6 or 7, yeah.
You're telling me I have, well, but I don't know. It could be nice, Mari. Like, we could do the like WrestleMania, get the brunch in, get those mimosas into, and then get back to WrestleMania. Maybe that's the strategy that they're really pushing for.
You'd have to choose, because, you know, brunch stops at 3, and that's about the same time that that this will be going on. Somebody said, so you're going to make me choose
NXT
between
2.0 brunch. One of them is recorded.
Right, exactly.
Thankfully, the other is not Bottomless Brunch in DC.
Yeah.
But yes. I'm not bothered by it too much. I have seen like a big negative response to it, and I'm like, you don't have to be there. You don't even have to watch it live. It's okay. It's probably not even going to be referenced on the actual WrestleMania. So you could probably maybe get away with not watching it until like Monday if you just mute the right terms on Twitter. So like, I choose peace. Protect.
There you go.
Peace. Thank you.
And that's something I thought of too. Like, I don't understand, why didn't they just move it to, like, why didn't they just have that special event on Tuesday? And then you could kind of even really extend out that WrestleMania week. I mean, I know it's already like 20 days, but like, you know, you have SmackDown. What do they call it? Like, remember they called like SmackDown, WrestleMania SmackDown on Friday.
I don't think that they did. I think
WrestleMania Friday on, that's what they called it. They called it WrestleMania Friday.
No, because I remember you talking about this last year. I think we brought it up last week too. Or did they call it Day Zero? Wait.
It was something. Damn.
I swear they called you. No, because you said WrestleMania Friday. WrestleMania Friday. I went with it last year, but I do think that they were also calling it WrestleMania Day Zero, WrestleMania Day One. I think they did have a WrestleMania like Day Zero or preview on that Friday. I don't know.
They called it a WrestleMania preview show. But anyways, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Raw after Mania Monday, and then just have NXT WrestleMania in your house on Tuesday. You know, like I don't understand why they didn't do that. But I do understand. Like you said it. They want people in the seats. They want butts in the seats for WrestleMania weekend.
So, I don't think that's it. I think that they just do whatever they want to do. I don't think that was a factor. I don't think anyone, especially with what NXT is now, as good as it is, like I don't think it's putting butts in seats like that for WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. I think, but you know what? Whatever, they did what they did. I'm sure we'll probably tune in. Maybe from a brunch as mentioned or not. We'll keep you up to date when we're streaming.
Man, I would love a WrestleMania brunch. I went to a WrestleMania brunch in New York when I was in there. Was it WrestleMania? It was like a pay-per-view brunch one year.
Where?
It was at like Legends Bar or something in New York City.
You were going to say they had multiple names, but the World, which was also... There was like the bar that they used to call it WWF New York. It was in times. This was like
I remember most that.
Of our fandom, but that was like 20 years ago or 15 years ago.
I remember.
Yeah. I never went.
Yeah. It was kind of like a ESPN zone.
Exactly.
That's dating me. Those are gone too, I think. So while we're on the subject of WrestleMania, let's keep going. Stone Cold Steve Austin is reportedly confirmed for WrestleMania to face Kevin Owens. Like, let me just tell you something. My husband said, they're saying Stone Cold is coming back for WrestleMania. I literally said, I don't want it. I don't want to see any more old people like limping through matches. I'm done. I don't want to see it. And then he said, he's going to face Kevin Owens. I was like, that's cute. He looked at me like I was crazy. I was like, it's true. I'm like not the biggest fan of like the older people coming back. Or should I say, I don't mind them coming back, but I really ranted about why can't we get some of the older women back? Why can't Melina come back and face Bayley? I've been talking about it for weeks now. You know, why does it have to be just the male legends that get back? But I do want to see Stone Cold versus Kevin Owens because I want all of the good things for Kevin Owens. And I feel like this is something he would want. And I would hope that he would win so he could officially take the stunner. So, yeah.
What?
We have a question from Edmo.
What?
And that's so annoying. And that's another reason why I don't want to see him come back.
I hate that. That's actually the worst
so
part
much.
Of his legacy.
It truly
and
is.
You know
he
what?
Hates it too.
I was doing a bit right there, but I 1000% agree with you on mm-hmm. what you're saying, especially about women and as legends, kind of as them not being used, them not being brought back. Lita's brought back now. Mm-hmm. And we've seen Trish come back for a little run with a match for Charlotte, but we don't get it. We don't ever get it. Our attitude towards legends returning might seem hypocritical, mm-hmm. but it's different because they haven't given the women these opportunities. But we will talk more about that, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And we have talked about it already. So,
yeah. Edmo asked, he said I'd love to hear you guys address the whole Stone Cold of it all, which is. That's our I like Stone Cold, of course. We've literally only seen him come in, do stunners and leave. So I would love to see if he's like in some really good ring shape and all of that. But still, again, it's just kind of like, where are the women's?
Yeah. But you know what? What I will add is like, this is Stone Cold Steve Austin. I'm not, I've never been the hugest Stone Cold fan. But I think that's also because like when I grew up as a kid watching wrestling, like I also was very plugged into the internet, which I guess it was like the infancy of internet wrestling. And so I also knew about like all of the crimes that he was committing, mostly against wives and things. But, and so didn't really like love that, but also he is such a unique performer and, we'll kind of wait and see, but I don't want to have expectations around this because the last time this man wrestled was almost 20 years ago. I believe it was WrestleMania 19 is what they were saying. Maybe that sounds 19. About right. So that would have been 2003. That would have been 2003, right? So that's a long time ago. I'm happy for Kevin Owens. I'm happy for Kevin Owens.
I will say, like, Stone Cold, from what we know now, is reformed and all of that. And of all of the old heads who have podcasts, his is, like, the one that I can at least stand to listen to because he doesn't seem to, like, put down the new talent or anything like that. Mm-hmm. And he seems to really, like, to help them from what I heard. But it doesn't really matter. I just, you know, I'm happy for Kevin Owens. I just love Kevin Owens. So if that's what he wants to do, that's what he wants to do. So I'm good.
Yeah, you know, I will also say, and you know what, hopefully we'll have chances to talk more about him. Something I'm excited about just in podcasting about Stone Cold is like all of the catchphrases that are going to come up and like even just the random nostalgia. He was all over the place, but also one of a kind and an icon. And I don't want to question that and doubt that. But yeah, it's 2022. I think we gave up on him wrestling like 20 years ago.
I know. Yeah.
Basically before he even retired, we were like, okay, you're good. We're good. Thanks.
And it's really funny. Like you said, well, you were a kid that was dialed in. I was not. So I was a Stone Cold fan, but I was always more of a rock fan. And you know, back then it was always, you had to choose, you know,
yeah, it was.
But as I got older, the first things I did was I watched his, you know, older matches before he broke his neck. I truly did not realize how good of a wrestler he really was, like before his neck injury, and how he had to completely change up his style once he recovered from the neck injury. Like, I didn't realize how like good of a technical wrestler he was.
Yeah. You know what? The thing that I think about when I think of Stone Cold, and it actually is more in a reference to a quote from an interview he did with Chris Jericho, which I'm assuming was on Talk is Jericho last year, but either way, it might have actually been from the like Stone Cold Rattlesnake sessions or whatever the hell he calls them. Because I think they did that right after WrestleMania.
They did
last with Jericho. Year, which was a wild decision to do anything after WrestleMania. But anyway, like he was saying, like, oh man, I don't know if we're going to work on the Stone Cold impression. I'll get there. But you know what? He was talking about just how he has so much passion that like, if he comes back, he doesn't want to do it for one match. He wants to do it for a program and like a feud or like a while. And like, he is so intense that I feel like wrestling like mentally does something to him. And I'm curious if this will be one match or if he'll be back for a program or a feud or what, but like, this is not the top of my highlights.
Right. As long as it's about the young star, if it's a young star, as long as it's about Kevin Owens. Yeah. That's all that matters to me. WWE confirmed that there is no more 205 Live, which is sad.
RIP, but
yeah,
I mean, it's sad, but also
expected.
I mean, they've done this like a million times with different shows over the years.
Yeah.
And I mean, I appreciate when they get rid of some of these shows that cool off. The main event is definitely still on somewhere, but I couldn't tell you where to find it. You could watch Australian Survivor on Hulu. Probably like easier. Oh my God. Look at that. Main event
is on Hulu.
Well, shit. I don't know. Well,
I mean, it's kind of necessary.
But that's kind of the point with like, you know what? Maybe I was thinking of 205 Live as I was saying that. Cause like,
205 Live is hard to find. I think it's only on Peacock or something. And Lord knows I hate that app. So,
but like, damn, like over, okay, I'm just like trying to spitball here, but they had like Sunday Night Heat back in the day, back in my day.
Yeah.
They had Velocity. They had Jacked on TV before that. They had
a lot of stuff.
There are lots of shows. That's all about all that I can remember right now.
Yeah.
But the point is, like, they had
some. Didn't they have Saturday Morning Wrestle Classic or something, too? Like, back in the.
So many different things. But the point being that, like, you know, there's always something cool when they announce a new show and it's like, oh, but this is going to be lightning, thunder, tornado. I'm trying to like think of the names that they stole from. Thunder. Yeah, it's probably like those are all probably WCW names. But like it is nice when they come up with new things. So I don't really mind it, but I hope that they're going to replace it.
Yeah, 205. I mean, they can't because for 205 Live, like it debuted in 2016 because they had the Cruiserweight Classic that then brought in all of those cruiserweights. And it was really, it was good there for like the first year or two. Then we had like with Neville's King of the Cruiserweight run.
Yeah.
And then Cedric versus Mustafa, like Mustafa's tweet out a tribute to 205 Live with the him and Cedric moment for WrestleMania. That was truly its peak, because after that, like, if you look at the firings, they all of the 205 Live guys are gone. Like, all those cruiserweights have been gone, like, slowly over the years, and then last year with all the firings, they're just all gone.
Yeah, and it hasn't been a cruiserweight show in a while.
At least a year or so. Like, we were talking about how Odyssey Jones was on there calling it 405 Live. They've kind of been using it as, like, a women's secondary show lately, where, like, Lash Legend, Electra Lopez, this one girl, the new girl, I forget her name.
Nikita
Lyons. Nikita Lyons was on there. Amari Miller. Like, it's been kind of been used as like the women's show for the month or two, which was kind of cool. Like, I would love an all women's show, but they can't even do another all women's pay per view. So let alone if they did a women's like 205 Live, like an all women's 2 hour show a week, do you understand how that would probably be the absolute only show I will watch? Especially if you have the big women on there, like the big stars. If they have the big stars on there, that's what I'm watching.
Like, that's a very specific one from Ari. Like, who are you?
But that's what I'm saying. Like, that would be cool. But it's over.
I agree. And you know what? Here's what I'll say is that the day that that happens, we might have, we'll have a podcast meeting about it, but we might need to actually just focus on that show. But you know what? That actually is one nice thing as a complete side note about Triple H not being in power as much, as he was really set on like the women had their Cheerios and they don't need any more Cheerios is what he was saying. He's like, we had Evolution the one time. What else do you want? And that was straight. It felt strange coming from him, but I guess we don't have to worry about that.
Truly, truly weird.
Yeah.
All right. So let's get into the big news, the huge news, the big thing everybody's been talking about. Cody Rhodes is leaving AEW.
And Brandy. Let me just
Cody and Brandy Rhodes are leaving AEW.
You are probably the first people to acknowledge in the same breath that she's leaving. That's always like the, oh, by the way, Brandy's also leaving, is kind of what I've been hearing, which is kind of sad.
Lots of kind of like conflicting reports, like, are they going to WWE? Are they not? Did he ask for a pay raise and didn't get it? You know, is he leaving because I saw rumors he left because they signed Punk and Bryan? Like, I don't know. I'm just shocked, to be quite honest. It's just.
You know what? Here's the thing. We kind of talked about it before, and I just feel like before this happened, before it was confirmed, what my line has been is, if this is a work, great. It's good. Right. Like, it promotes the fact that maybe he's going to be in the Royal Rumble or showing up in some way. When this continued after the Royal Rumble, for me, I was like, oh, this is maybe real. And it just kind of sucks, because you would think that a company, any company, not only a wrestling company, but like any company would be organized enough to keep their top talent and to find ways to make sure that your maybe like arguably the face of your company doesn't leave. But hey, that's kind of what's happening. And I'm not, I don't fault Cody at all for that, but it to me kind of speaks to where AEW is. Like it would be like if Vince McMahon let Stone Cold Steve Austin leave, you know, at any point. And he really didn't even let Austin leave. There was no real competition. And Austin was there for like years, even after he retired from the ring. So it just feels messy and sloppy.
Very interesting. Especially since weren't we just talking like maybe
probably
two or three months ago, how Cody was taking shots at them, like getting ready for his Sammy Guevara match. Like it's really, I mean, Cody's been weird.
Yeah. Cody has been strange, like especially in the last year. He's had a lot of interesting promos where it's not clear what he's going for. Mm-hmm. He had that feud with QT Marshall, which we talked about back in the day, back in like May, June. And, you know, he also, I watched a funny video that I need to send you if I find it. But it's basically just Cody getting beat up by all of the old people, quote unquote, at AEW. So he like getting a Taz mission from Taz, Tully Blanchard talking at him, Arn Anderson putting the gun moment. You know, there was all that mess that from Arn. Who else? Sting also. So Cody has really been getting put in his place by these old people. And I know Randy Orton won't be happy about it.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see if he truly is coming back to WWE. It'll be really interesting to see where he lands on the card. Does he get creative control?
No, one gets creative control. I don't think anyone gets creative control in 2022.
Him and Brandy are a match set. Is that what we're getting?
No. I've heard that Brandy's not going to WWE.
Oh, really?
It makes no sense to me.
I mean, and then it's just like people just pointed out they're so entwined with everything that AEW does. Like she has her cooking show on AEW. They have two TV shows that are on Turner Broadcasting.
Roads to the Top and the other one. There's the Go Big Show.
I think. And then the Nightmare Factory or Nightmare Family is like almost like AEW's developmental, I heard. So it's like it's gonna be really interesting. You thought it was a work, you were the one who brought it up first.
I didn't even like fully think it was a work. I just was thinking I kind of did, but then mostly because it just makes no sense. That news shouldn't be out there like that, that someone is not under contract for as long as it was. And that news has been out there for the last 2 months now.
2 months. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It makes me upset.
Yeah.
But I'm going to protect my peace. I'm going to take care of myself. I'm not going to talk shit about AEW, I'm not surprised that this happened in AEW. Things we've heard from Jade Sheeta about the disorganization. This also kind of goes into the disorganization bucket for me.
They're saying all of those original signees, those are the ones whose contract are coming up. So Bucks, Jericho, I'm assuming Mox, all of the foundation people.
I think Jericho extended like something.
Makes sense.
Like some comment, maybe it was from Fightful, but he has like about two more years is what they said on this
deal. So that makes sense.
I'll take their word for it.
Yeah. Put him in there with Miz and Maryse.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, yeah, like there's not a win. Cody wasn't doing anything too exciting.
Well, because you know he lost the match in like the very beginning,
like
saying that he can never
go for the title.
Which,
but I mean, you don't need to go for the title to have interesting things to do.
Right, which he's proved over the past 3 years, but it's still just a weird, like.
But also, you don't need it. You don't need to. I just said you don't need to go for the title to have interesting things to do. But mm-hmm. the opposite of that is also true. Like, just because you are going for the title doesn't make it interesting. And yeah. Cody's like clearly been going for something. He's had TV time. He's had stuff happening. It's just been very strange. Yeah.
The TNT title 3 times.
I hope he's happy, though. I hope he's happy. Me too. That's, you know, yeah. Fighting, getting, I'm not even, I mean, look, Miz and Maryse are great, but.
All right. So, moving on. That's it for our news section. If you want to send us an email, you can send an email to wrestling@robhasawebsite.com. You can also follow us at Wrestling Rehab Up on Twitter, and then use hashtag Wrestling Rehab Up to join the conversation. You can also join Job Has a Squadcast, our unofficial official patron group for RHAP wrestling fans. Just let us know. We'll get you into that. We also have our podcast feed. Hopefully you're listening to us and subscribed. But if not, you can go to robhasawebsite.com/wrestlingfeed, where it'll allow you to follow us and subscribe on all of the major podcasting platforms. You should also be watching our beautiful faces right here on YouTube. Just go to Rob Has a Podcast YouTube page and search Wrestling Wrap Up. It will pop up right there. And that's it for the plugs. So let's just take a quick break. All right. So we got to get into the highlights of the week. Of course, we are going over the Elimination Chamber match card. So, all of the highlights of the week can be found in our show notes and in the show description, in either the video or podcast format. Just a heads up, we're recording, of course, on Thursday so that it can get out before the Elimination Chamber, which will be on Saturday, February 19th at noon. It's going to be at noon because it's coming from Jeddah, Saudi Arabia.
Yep, Eastern time.
Noon Eastern time. Mm-hmm. Yes. So because of that, all of the highlight clips that involve like SmackDown matches, of course, are just old clips. It's from last week. So just giving you all a heads up, there will probably be some, we'll speculate on any further movement we think will happen for those SmackDown matches. But just letting you know, if you watched them last week, they're probably the same ones. Mm-hmm. Let's get into the first Elimination Chamber match. The WWE Championship match, which is an Elimination Chamber. There you go. Nice picture. Yeah. There you go. So we have the champ, Bobby Lashley, versus Brock Lesnar, versus Seth Rollins, versus AJ Styles, versus Riddle, versus Austin Theory. And this is for the championship. So whoever wins is the champion.
That works.
That is how it works. And we just got, you know, on Raw, it was just a whole bunch of like, oh, Bobby's coming out, I'm going to walk out the champion. Everybody interrupts. And then Brock Lesnar gives Austin Theory an F5. Like, it's just like, it was just your typical, for me, at least. I don't know if Matt, you felt it any differently, but it's just your that last little, oh, we're all in the ring, or I'm going to say that we're going to win
thing. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I didn't, like, the thing I didn't appreciate about that, I'm similarly like lukewarm, if you could even call it that, on the this build match. To this and on this match, but you don't need to do that to Austin Theory. Like, this is my thing. Okay,
he could have got hit with another.
Let me just give like the thing, though. Like, the youngest, newest star is the one who's getting the F, who's eating the F5 leading into the pay-per-view, or leading into the premium live event. I'm sorry, folks. Mm-hmm. I don't love the optics of that. It's not like Austin Theory is more over or above anyone, or like, but that's kind of my point. Like, I don't think it helps him to have him eat an F5 necessarily. And he's definitely not winning this match. So it kind of just felt like Brock was proving his dominance and conquering like he likes to do. But I don't know, it's nothing new. And nothing
surprising. I understand that. I do. Counterpoint is
how do you feel?
So he could take
it. Austin Theory could deal with that. I mean, he's like more of a little bit goofier than a lot of characters. And so it makes sense, but what are they doing with
him? So we also got
in the back of my head. We're talking about him way too much, though. There's not a lot to say there.
Right, that part. We also got Randy Orton and Seth Rollins. They headlined the Raw. So, and it just seemed like Seth won. So it just was like a momentum. Like, oh, Seth Rollins has momentum going into Elimination Chamber or whatever. But if Seth won, that'd be interesting. But let's move on to our, let's get to our questions, because I think our questions is where we're will help us get through this, and both of us are like kind of like meh on it. We got a question from Mike Edwards, or Mike. He said, we uniting the belts, Brock wins the chamber, goes on to challenge Reigns. I hope not. We've said it here before, but like I truly hope they don't unite the belts, because again, that just means there's less opportunity for people. That means the belts more than likely won't be on. There won't be a belt on both shows, you know? And again, logistically, I don't know how you do that with the TV deals that they have set in place. So I really hope not. Matt, what do you think?
Talk about logistics. You know what? Here's the, I'm with you. I'm with you in the sense that the like WWE builds up the championships, builds up the championship matches to mean things. And so if you have one less championship that's in the circulation for people to compete over, then they're not like, I don't know why I'm thinking of Kofi Kingston, but like Kofi Kingston does not have the opportunity to have that championship match that he's able to kind of like strive for in that story around that. And so, you know, I don't, and Kofi Kingston being like insert random champion here, but I give him as the example because he's someone who's definitely been built as the contender and was able to get over as the contender and as champion, of course, when he won. But if you have the championships tied up, you don't have that. So let's hope they don't unite them, but I wouldn't put it past them, obviously. And that's the thing that kind of sucks. Like, do we don't want Brock to win the chamber. We obviously, Brock would be the one who wins here if it's not Lashley somehow.
Yeah.
I don't like the title changes right before Mania, but they've kind of already been in that mode because Lashley just won it.
Yeah.
So I don't know what to think here, but it's just not fun.
And if the very least, we'll get to the next one, but if Brock wins the chamber, then maybe like if Brock wins the chamber, and maybe he'll cost Roman, and then we'll just go into WrestleMania with the both of them going after the WWE championship, or we have both of them going title for title and just whoever wins has both titles and it's not unified. But I don't know. I just don't like the titles being held up like that, especially for a match that does not need it. Brock and Roman title for title, it does not need to be done, which makes me think that they're probably going to do it. So more than likely, Brock Lesnar is going to win here, which is going to piss me off because Bobby Lashley's only been the champion for like a month, if that.
Look, Mari, remember when we watched Ready to Rumble over on Post Show Recaps with Josh and Emily back in June?
Yes.
So they had a scene in there, at least one scene, where it was just like all the WCW wrestlers came out and they just beat down Jimmy King. I would like that for Brock Lesnar. I would like all of them to all of the wrestlers, the entire locker room. Men, like women, everybody. I want everybody in there and just beat him down because it's frustrating. In what world, Mari, is it okay for Brock Lesnar to just go and run through things? And why does Brock Lesnar get to be the ruler of everything? Why can't
not you quoting the movie?
Why can't Brock Lesnar just? Why can Brock just stomp around like he's the boss, like he's Vince McMahon? And it's just not right. They need to take him out. We're tired of Brock Lesnar. I'm over him.
Maybe we should just stab stupid Brock Lesnar.
I wasn't going to go there.
Yes. That was a Mean Girls quote, if you guys haven't
And also, I think the stabbing was like a John Cena got stabbed in a storyline back in the day.
He did.
Look at that, full circle.
Edmo asked, this is a little time consuming, but I'd like to hear you guys fantasy book each of the men in the Chamber's WrestleMania match if they're champion after Elimination Chamber. So I'll go first and we'll just run through these.
Okay, run through.
All right. So it's kind of hard. So just start with the easy one. Brock Lesnar, he's a champion. Of course, he's going against Roman Reigns. Easy, right? Seth Rollins becomes the champion. I mean, barring that Stone Cold news, I would have had him go up against Kevin Owens, you know? Mm. If AJ Styles wins the championship, I would book him against Omos. Now, I would have him beat Omos there. We're talking about, if we're talking about storyline buildup, sure, that's where I would go. If Riddle won the championship, of course, him and Randy. And then if Austin Theory won, I would have said Shane, because the rumors were it might have been Austin Theory versus Shane at some point because of the whole Austin Theory being, you know, Mr. McMahon's lapdog now or whatever. Uh-huh. And his son, you know, all that. So that would have been kind of cool. But if Bobby Lashley remains champion, he's probably the hardest one because it already feels like they booked him to kind of lose here.
Who's his content? Like, it, you know what?
You would just have to pick one of these guys, I would guess. So maybe Seth Rollins.
Yeah. Or Big E. I don't know if he comes back, but he's not, they're done with that. They've been done.
There's been a report that his push has been stopped.
Yeah. But look, that's pretty clear.
And that's what I was going to say about the Roman match. I guess I'll put it right here. But like I was saying, if Brock wins this championship, he costs Roman his championship. That means Goldberg would have the Universal title. And then if Goldberg has a Universal title, then you should book Big E against Goldberg.
Oh, hell no. We're not doing that. We're not doing that again. Goldberg with the
Universal. Oh, with the title. Yeah, no, that's not good. But no, if he's going to have it, I would love for him to lose it against Big E, since that's, again, Big E's.
Like, yeah. Yeah.
Dream match.
Well, look, if you know, that was a good fantasy booking. Yes,
your turn.
I would just, maybe I'm not going to run through all of it because I agree with most of it. But I would say Austin Theory, I would put him in a match. Like, one, that would be a mess. And the Shane match is one idea. Put him in there with Vince, though. We're talking about fantasy booking.
With Vince himself.
Vince is like, I'm gonna put you in your place, and I'm gonna become a 2-time world champion or whatever. I'm assuming he would be. He's only had it once. Remind me, Mari, never to do the gravelly Vince voice, because that doesn't, it's not conducive to podcasting. But I don't know. It's just hard to like look at this field and see anything different than Brock winning. But
yeah,
I don't know. I'm not going to do this.
No,
I just would. I'm just like, I'd like to see stories paid off. And I like what you said about Randy and Riddle having something together at Mania, which I'm assuming will happen. I don't know if I don't think it will be against each other. I think it'll be a team thing or something. Who knows? Seth, they've been doing a lot with him. Bobby, we'll see. Brock, obvious. AJ, I have no clue what they'll do with AJ or if they'll even revisit the Omos stuff. But with Austin Theory, I actually do hope that they do. Like, that Shane match would have been nice. I hope that they do something to pay that off. Mm-hmm. It sucks. It even sucks that Big E is not in this match. I can't even look. It just depresses me to look at that graphic without him in it, because it doesn't make sense if you think back 2 months. That's one thing about WWE I'll just mention is like, you can't really tune out for 2 months and then come back, because things could completely change. AEW does things so slowly that it's easy to keep up, for better or for worse.
But, true. They just still also don't explain it, though.
this is very true.
All right. So I guess both of our predictions for that is, are we just going to go with Brock Lesnar?
I mean, I think we have to have, I'm going to say Bobby Lashley somehow wins. Okay.
Yeah, I would love it.
For the fun. Yeah. I don't actually think that's going to happen, but I guess we'll see.
Yeah. So for the next up is the Universal Championship match, Roman Reigns versus Goldberg. And talk about, like, does Roman even want to be in this match? Because he seems like he does not want to be in this match.
You know what? Goldberg doesn't seem, we've barely seen him. This literally just popped up out of nowhere.
It's been all like vignettes, really.
Yeah. And you know what? I don't even, like, there's, if we can contrast this with the Bobby Lashley Goldberg stuff, which in its defense, that had a lot of life to it. Like the Lashley Goldberg Lashley Goldberg feud with Goldberg. the sun and all that stuff. I liked that kind of, even though I didn't really want to see it. I want to see it more than anything that Goldberg's done in the last several years. So, they both look over it in this graphic though, which is also not helping.
Yeah, because we said it's like it's just plug and play. It's just Goldberg is contracted to work all of the Saudi events. So here you go. Is he undefeated at Saudi events?
I don't know.
Did he lose to Undertaker?
No, he is definitely not undefeated at Saudi events.
Did he lose to the Undertaker in that horrendous match?
Yeah. He has. Well, he lost to them. So here's what, actually, on this note, it's funny because I took this note like 2 weeks ago, or like a week and a half ago. But so Goldberg and wins is a whole topic. But what I found from Sportster is that so Goldberg in his initial WWE run and apparently never lost a singles match. So that's like before WrestleMania 20. And then he's otherwise in his career, he's lost to The Undertaker and Brock Lesnar and Braun Strowman and Drew McIntyre and Bobby Lashley. So those are all losses from the last few years. So yeah, he's been losing actually for the most part.
Okay. Well, but no, I'm saying in Saudi Arabia, because didn't he beat Bobby Lashley?
He took on The Undertaker, right?
Yeah, he did. That's what I'm trying to say. Did he win or lose that?
No, he lost to The Undertaker, and he also lost to Bobby.
At Saudi Arabia? I thought he won at Saudi Arabia, but maybe lost.
I don't know.
I can't remember. It doesn't matter.
I can confirm that.
Because they like him. That's the reason why he keeps coming back.
And I'll let you know, too. So he did lose to The Undertaker at Super Showdown 2019.
Right.
And then He
squashed Dolph Ziggler 1 year.
Yeah. And like knocked his shoes off or something.
Right.
And then they collided. Oh, no. I think he lost to Bobby at SummerSlam.
At SummerSlam, right. Right. SummerSlam.
So I guess he won at the Saudi event.
Yeah, because wasn't it like a no holds bar match? And it was, I don't know. I don't know.
He was defending his son's honor. He probably won.
So Roman, his quote is, I'm going to Goldberg. So if what he's saying is what he wants to do, basically a 40 second match, Roman Reigns squashing Goldberg. And that's what I hope it's going to be.
I mean, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need more than that.
And Goldberg and, you know, Michael Cole asked Goldberg, like, you know, do you feel like you're losing a step? And he's just like, you know, I'm going to keep going, basically. So please do the squash. That'd be nice. But I still think Roman wins here again, unless Brock interferes, like what Roman did to Brock. So,
I mean, we'll see how this match goes. I didn't appreciate in the build to this match how they referenced that Goldberg had 173 consecutive wins in WCW, which is not true. That is not a fact. They're all fake numbers.
Yeah.
But like, come on. I don't know. Goldberg, he could go. We don't need him right now. Anyone else could be in that spot right now against Roman. And it, like, we know that Goldberg is not, maybe we don't know that he's not going to win here.
It truly does not matter, because we're getting Roman versus Brock at WrestleMania. So who really cares? There's going to be some title on the line. I highly doubt both of them lose the title.
But in what world do we you know what? It's not even worth the energy to like really think about Goldberg winning here, because I don't think it's possible. Do you think it's possible?
The only way it's possible is if Brock interferes. That's it.
Damn.
And Brock could interfere because Roman interfered in his match, and it would make logical sense.
I'm not trying to make this an age thing, but I believe Roman is like 36 or 37, which is younger than I thought he was. And Goldberg is like 52 or 55 or 60 or something. And I don't know. I don't want to see that older man beating up Roman. Roman doesn't need that. He should squash Goldberg here. Let's hope. So, I mean, if we are even starting to talk about predictions, Roman is my prediction, obviously. Same. Yeah, we don't even. I'm not even going to try to pretend.
Right. I don't even know. I don't even know if they show up on SmackDown this week. I would be surprised if they did. Either one of them. All right, let's move on to something a little bit more interesting, in my opinion. Women's Elimination Chamber match. This is the number one contender Elimination Chamber match. We have Rhea Ripley versus Nikki A.S.H. versus Bianca Belair versus Doudrop versus Liv Morgan versus the newly announced Alexa Bliss. So let's talk about the Gauntlet match first, and then we'll get into Alexa Bliss's addition.
Yeah.
So on Raw this week, they had a Gauntlet match to see who would enter the Elimination Chamber last. So I love when they do this, mostly because it's a reason for these people to fight. It's a reason for you to have these, give the girls time and have these long segments to eat up your paper, your show before your go home show. And I really enjoyed this.
Yeah. I did too. My only critique is that I would have liked to, like, I actually didn't realize that when I was watching that it wasn't the last match. Like, I would.
Right. I completely thought it was going to main event the show.
Because Randy,
so I missed a little bit of the beginning of it.
Yeah. Randy Seth to me felt a lot more like, almost like if you go to a live show, televised or not, they'll have like the dark match after the show sometimes.
Yeah.
That's what that felt like to
me. Very true. Very true. Like, I was so shocked. I was like, oh, the women are on at 9? But yeah, basically the whole 9 o'clock hour was the women, because we'll talk about Becky and Lita next. But I mean, it makes sense too, because that is normally where they put the women's block. If it's not headlining, it is normally in that hour. So, yeah, but it was good. So we started off with Nikki A.S.H. versus Rhea Ripley.
Yeah.
And I thought this match did a few things. It definitely showed us what the pecking order was, but it made Rhea Ripley look strong.
Totally.
Rhea Ripley outlasted everybody until Bianca Belair was the last person she had to go up against in the Gauntlet match. And of course, she had just did three other matches prior to that. So her and Bianca had a really good match before Bianca overcame her because, of course, she'd been out there. They had the running timer, which was really cool. I think Rhea Ripley was out there for like 40. How do you say, like, 40 plus?
I think
minutes?
They said 40, like 40 something minutes at one point, which is wild.
So great for her. So it made Rhea Ripley look strong. You know, it basically did nothing for Nikki A.S.H. or Liv Morgan, really, to be quite honest. It did nothing for Nikki A.S.H. I know that. Liv Morgan and Rhea Ripley put on a really good match, but Liv was, you know, foisted or whatever. I think Rhea and Doudrop was a very good matchup as well, and the way that match was laid out made you think, oh, is Doudrop going to take this? And then it that match, I think, like, put Rhea over the top, so that once we got to Bianca versus Rhea, at this point, you know Bianca has to win, because it'll make Bianca look stupid if so she comes out last and gets beat by somebody who's been out there for 40 minutes. But it made Rhea look really strong, because at least Bianca and Rhea's match was a good one. So I think this means that there's no way we don't get Bianca and Rhea facing off for that number one contendership, I'm thinking, in the Elimination Chamber. And then if Bianca does manage to beat Becky at WrestleMania, which she should, then maybe we finally get a Bianca versus Rhea program.
Oh no. Oh no. Oh no. Oh no, 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 no. I feel like I just saw, like, I had like a That's So Raven moment. Like, see the future. This makes me really nervous that Bianca's not going to win. Chamber. Because we got this between Rhea and Bianca. And, you know, actually, I will say, I feel like they could have, during the match, they could have hyped up the fact that they had, like, such different, but, like, also such parallel journeys.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Even, like, the last 2 years, they have, I think even 2 years ago at Royal Rumble, they were, like, yeah, in the final, basically.
I truly think they're waiting for a proper program to do that, because it's literally all right there. They can highlight Rhea beating Bianca. And
yeah, NXT. You know what?
They have to wait. That's why I think it's going to be a good feud. And Bianca never really had a good title defense when she was champion.
Yeah.
Because after she beat Sasha, she kind of just beat Carmella a few times.
She had the one Hell in the Cell.
Her and Bayley had the really good feud, but because they couldn't finish it because Bayley got injured, it didn't do what it needed to do. So I could definitely see that being, I think this means Bianca wins. I mean, Bianca won, so that means she will enter the chamber last, which means she has the distinct advantage of hopefully being able to pick the bones, like Corey Graves kept saying in all of the show, to pick the bones. And it just, guys, it just makes logical sense again here. It makes sense. Can we just continue down the path? People say they want long-term storytelling until they get long-term storytelling. And it seems, I always say that when we're referencing Black women or Bianca especially. Like, I feel like I said that exact same phrase when we talked about Bianca and Sasha being a long-term storytelling. It's really interesting and funny how people say, oh, WWE doesn't do long-term booking, but the moment they do, and it's somebody you don't necessarily like, that's when you start to complain. But anyways...
That's a whole other conversation too. And it's like, we will not complain just because it's people that we don't like. We will be very clear about why we're complaining about things. And sometimes we just don't like people, but you know, not all wrestling's for everyone.
Yep. There you go. shortly after this gauntlet match finished, Alexa Bliss had two more of her therapy.
They officially call it therapy. Yeah, they did say mental health.
I was like,
I think that they called it therapy from the beginning, because I felt very uncomfortable that they were representing that as therapy.
I'm telling you, thank you. I thought I was crazy. I was like, this is not, should we be? Woo!
No, it's therapy. And it's so again. Apparently, that guy should lose his license. By the way, Doctor whatever his name is. Do you know the doctor's name? Didn't think so.
If it's not Dr. Shelby, I don't know who it is.
Same.
So she completed her therapy. He gave her a new Lily doll with the old stuffing.
And I don't like this guy.
To always carry it with her. I'm still confused, Matt.
Nobody
answered me about what's going on with this Alexa Bliss situation. I'm still confused because in the segment we got earlier in the night, her hair was down. Her makeup kind of looked just kind of regular. And then when it came back to it, her hair was up in the buns again. She was still acting kind of goofy. Like, what did this accomplish?
You know, I'm assuming that they filmed these all like maybe at around the same time, maybe at the same time in advance. Cause like, to me, look, they have their therapist office set and I'm assuming they just filmed everything up front. Cause like that would be really inconvenient from a production standpoint to like have to set up the same room, especially when you're traveling places or whatever.
Yeah.
So that's like the one thing I would say. But I mentioned that to say, let's assume that they did record everything in advance. How the hell did this therapist gimmick seem to change like throughout the series. Like, he was at first, like, kind of a, he wasn't a great therapist, but he was trying to do therapy things. He said, like, I've watched the insert therapy show here. I've watched Dr. Phil. Like, I know how to therapize. And now he's just this week he went completely off the rails. I don't even know what that
was
about.
I couldn't make sense of
anything that he was trying to say, or like they are really shoehorning where they wanted Alexa to go into this therapist gimmick thing with the guy. It just didn't make sense, and we still don't know what to expect for the chamber.
Exactly. So we got another question from Edmo. He said, should they have announced Alexa for the chamber or left it ambiguous so people could think that maybe Bailey or Asuka return might happen? To be quite honest, I think we covered it last week. It was just kind of like we knew it was going to be Alexa. So telling us it's going to be Alexa, I think if anything, it was just weird because I was watching earlier in the night. It was still a mysterious person. And then when I came back later, I checked Twitter later. They're like, oh, it's Alexa now. I was like, wait, what? And then so I had to go back and realize, oh, they just announced it. So it's just kind of like, if it's just Alexa, I'm kind of glad they announced it. So I wouldn't get my hopes up on a Bailey and Asuka return. And the simple fact that they're announcing it's Alexa again makes me allay my fear that she might not be the one who wins. So,
I like that. That's exactly what I was thinking with that. And I mean, WWE especially with the women, has this year, 2022, kind of had us, they brought us this conversation of like, do we want the surprise or do we want to know in advance? And I still don't know which way is better. I think that's a good question from Edmo. But I will say that I do not want my hopes built up that Bailey or Asuka is returning and then Alexa is the one who shows up. Because then I'm just kind of bitter about Alexa. Bitter.
Exactly. Especially when we kind of thought it was going to be her anyways.
Maybe that's what happened though, because maybe they said like, okay, we could do this as a surprise. I would bet that they didn't know that they were going to announce it beforehand. And maybe they just made the decision to announce her beforehand because they realized that maybe people get their hopes up in a different direction and might not respond to it well. And again, Alexa may or may not win here.
It's just Alexa. So it's fine that they announced it. I'm cool. I think both of our predictions, because maybe we need to stop being so lockstep, but it just, again, logical sense. Bianca Belair. It has to be Bianca Belair. And this is Elimination Chamber. There's not going to be much ambiguity to who many of these winners are going to be, only because half of this stuff is already set in stone. You know what I'm saying? For like WrestleMania, some stuff is already set for stone in WrestleMania. This is just kind of like fluff. So I'm not surprised that a lot of the stuff we pick might be the same people. But anyways, I pick Bianca Belair.
You know, I want to believe. I really want Bianca. So that's how I'm feeling. Let's go with Bianca here. Because if they don't have her win, like, this is really, it's a miscarriage of justice. I don't have time for that. Stop playing games with Bianca. Give her her title shot and her championship. That's what I want for Bianca.
Exactly. Give it back. All right, and speaking of which, the Raw Women's Championship match between Becky Lynch, the current champion, versus Lita. So this was a really good segment I liked on Raw. They, you know, it's a contract signing, of course, but I thought Becky is still really good character work here. Becky was telling Lita, please don't sign that contract. You know, I don't want you to tarnish your legacy by basically beating you up, like, which is really kind of funny. But Lita was like, you know, yeah. And then Becky, of course, is like, nobody wants to see it, but these dodos in the crowd. Becky does really good crowd work, and I'm glad she's doing it now as a heel where it makes sense and all of that. And they, like we've already said, she explains why she turned her back on the people. Meanwhile, Lita's drawing energy from them. Like, you guys want to see me sign this contract, you know? And Lita talking. You said that I inspired you. And she said, if I had any help creating this monster that I see in front of me, basically, I needed like destroy it. So
okay,
it
was that's a little dramatic, but
it was very dramatic. It was, she said something to that extent, but it was
she
just,
did.
Yeah, it was just really good. Again, very good old school character work, I feel like, from the both of them.
Yeah.
So,
and again, I will point out, Becky's been on fire with her gimmick work, and you know, she's always been great with her in-ring work. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I don't know why I'm so always kind of surprised as much as I like love her as a performer and all, but like I don't remember Lita for her promos. I don't think most people do.
Right.
And I think that she's done like such a solid job here, and so I don't know. I'm excited for this. I don't know where they're going to place it on the card, but I wish that this was a different world where this could be like not in the middle of the card. And so we'll kind of see where they choose to put it. But like this match is all over billboards in Saudi Arabia, which is like kind of a big deal. So
Yeah, like that. It is. It's just a truly, truly big deal. So they got me excited, like for it, even though we know Becky's gonna win.
Yeah.
So I'm just kind of excited to see the match, how they work together, see how their styles mesh, see how the match itself turns out. But yeah, this has been great. This has been great character work, and I know a lot of people complained about. I'm pretty sure we didn't, but like, I think Becky and the man character, her being heel, it's appropriate now because like Lita mentioned, oh, I'm going to break your 300 streak or your 500 day streak.
Yeah.
She's a 500 day streak as champion,
which is, we know what she was saying.
I mean, she's not, but it's like, she's not really lying.
Yeah, but like, I get it. It's like shorthand.
It's her streak, not the title streak.
Right. It's like, oh, right. But also, I mean, we're both on the same page about this. When we heard that, our ears perked up, right?
Mm-hmm.
It does kind of feel like it was like a little erasing some people.
It's erasing like Bianca's history and then Sasha's.
Well, it's the Raw women's title.
They'll see exactly, but so, remember it started off as a SmackDown.
It's just erasing everybody.
It's just weird. The reason why I didn't feel like it erased it was because it made you really think, and it's true. This is technically Becky's streak. It's not mm-hmm. It's not the title streak. Mm-hmm. It's Becky herself's streak. Becky had it for a full year, never lost it. Had to give it up due to her pregnancy. Literally, as soon as she came back, she got the belt. So it's Becky.
Literally. And she hasn't had a single night without the championship in front of the audience in WWE for all those days. And I think that's important. And I like that they're leaning into that rather than kind of phrasing it as if like, okay, Becky, you've been champion since SummerSlam, which is true, mm-hmm. but also
they're really trying to bigger up.
Well so done.
That hopefully well done. The person who dethrones her, Bianca Belair, gets the rub.
So well done. So well done. And I'm glad that they've kind of like reestablished Becky. I get that's a different landscape where like there are people like Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns and others who might be draws. But like they've done such a good job kind of bring her up pretty close to where she was before she left, even though I feel like before she left, she was the star for a while. And you know, maybe she'll be there again.
And that's why people are complaining, because they feel like she's not as big a star, maybe as a heel as she is as a face or something, or just not as big a star. But honestly, if you really think back to right after mm-hmm. her turn at SummerSlam, this is what they kind of originally wanted her character to do, because she had originally came out and she's like, oh, she started trying to talk down the crowd, and it was like it didn't make sense, because the crowd, as she's trying to say, I don't need you guys, or the crowd was never, you guys gave up on me, the crowd's chanting Becky. So luckily at that moment they pulled back, they had her do like a tweener role, the man was born, she was doing kind of heelish things but also being a face in situations, and this was, you know, before she got the title, she was playing very much the Stone Cold comparisons were very apt. So you got to remember that WWE misses a lot of the time, but they got it right on accident with the original Becky the Man run by not making her heel initially and waiting till this comeback to really lean into her heel persona, because it works now. It works and she's doing really well at it. So you gotta kind of give them props sometimes.
You definitely have to give them props for that.
Especially when they trip ass backwards into something good.
They really do.
Let's be for real. That was Becky.
They really do. And like, even with this match at Elimination Chamber, Becky and Lita, I haven't seen like anything that's been particularly negative about it. I have heard some people have the conversation of, oh, we have to stop bringing back all of these legends. And, you know, we talked about that at the top of the show. Mm-hmm. Save that for the men. Save that for the people who've been back again and again and again. Because, like, that's the problem.
Yeah.
Goldberg. But, like, don't really hold, you know, I'm glad that most people don't hold that against, like, Lita, who hasn't really been back, or others. And, you know, maybe this, who knows? Maybe Lita coming back will spark some other people to come back. I don't know who else. But let your imagination run wild.
And then there's also a difference, because I think we've said it on here before. I don't mind legends coming back to prop up the full-time talent. Mm-hmm. It's the legends that come back and then bury them. Goldberg, you know, is the ones that I truly have a problem with. So there's no other way than Lita being here to give Becky this, character work time to be as evil as possible, to amp that up so that she can then take the pin and, you know, get even more heat on Becky. So this is great, you know, and it's Lita. I mean, geez.
Enough said.
So, you know, Becky for the win here for me.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just wild though that this match is happening, especially because right before the Rumble, I said, Lita, she's the one. She's who I want in all the dream matches.
You did say
this
that.
This is one of them, apparently. Wasn't ready for it. Don't live your dreams. You'll be disappointed. I don't want to be disappointed. Something like that.
I want to breeze through this next match because it's like, okay, sure.
Yeah, we could breeze through everything else. No.
Well, at least just this match.
Not everything else.
Not everything, but yeah. So the SmackDown Tag Team Championship match, it's going to be the Usos, who are the current champions, versus the Viking Raiders, which I'm just like, all right, girl. Okay. Like, Jimmy faced, I think, Eric or Ivar. I don't know which one. He beat them. Somehow they got a tag team championship match.
Yeah.
The clip from this week or last week was the Viking Raiders were about to have a interview, and then the Usos just ran up and beat them.
Yeah.
They beat them down.
Yeah.
And then they took their little helmets and just like, cool. Like,
that was unnecessary. Like, you don't need to get theft involved in this. Just like, let them have their helmets.
So, it's the Usos versus the Viking Raiders with basically no build. The tag team division is in the can right now.
They don't even have a graphic on WWE.com. I can't even say it. On WWE.com right now. If I'm looking close, I'm sure it'll be there by the time that this episode's out. Maybe not, but it's not there now. So.
Well, that goes to show you how much they care about the match. So,
yeah,
just like that, I don't care about it that much either. Mm-hmm. It's really sad because the Usos are part of the bloodline. They're having this great, like, kind of run with Roman, but they've not had any good, significant storyline feuds that involve just them. Mm-hmm. So, just because of that reason, I'm just going to say that the Usos will win because there's no reason as to why to take the belts off of them right now.
How do you make the Usos like such an exhausting tag team to watch? I'm exhausted watching them now.
Right.
Because
it makes no sense.
It's not like they've been doing this with their different, but like with any matches they've had on pay-per-view for a while. And I get that there was the Dominic Mysterio, Rey Mysterio run back in, I guess that was like Money in the Bank to SummerSlam, maybe, if the Usos won back
something
the title
like
run. But yeah, something like that. So it's just not, like, give us a meaningful feud for the tag teams. And I understand, I mean, the way that I understand it is that Vince McMahon does not love tag teams, and the explanation that apparently he's given, according to Bruce Pritchard, who I've heard out on these podcast streets, has been like, oh, wrestling tag teams are, it's like you have to pay for two flights and two people to do. And it's just like, is that really what you don't like about tag teams, Vince McMahon? That's what's been widely reported for a while. And just, they're there. Give them something to do.
It's make sad. It's like, yeah, give them something.
And also make us care. Like, more importantly, make us care. But I mean, there are lots of ways they could do that. That, to me, would be an interesting fantasy booking situation of how to actually revive the tag team division. But that's not what we're doing now.
They need like some sort of, I don't know if they need some like scrappy underdogs that the people can get behind.
But feel like against them?
Yeah, like I feel like we're really missing like a good face team. You know what I'm saying? Like the Viking Raiders are cool, but I've never really connected to them. I know a lot of people used to love them. The New Day is great. You know, we have Kofi is, and Big E now is, I guess, back a part of the New Day, but we've seen the New Day versus the Usos so many times. It's going to be a great match. We know that, but there's no, you know, we need more storyline to it.
We need to be able to just distinguish them even in our minds because they kind of just blend together at this point.
Exactly. So then like, what is it like Ricochet and Cesaro have been teaming, but nobody cares about that because that doesn't feel like a real tag team. So it's just, they need a really good face tag team that you want to see beat the Dirty Usos. And it's just not, I'm not seeing it right now.
The Dirty Usos. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's just on that note, maybe they pull they would never do this because they don't care about tag teams like that. But like, I don't know if there are legendary tag teams or tag teams that aren't under contract. And like, if there's an open challenge situation they could do, but I can't think of anyone who would be like really rootable against them. Maybe like
I can think of one tag team. Yeah, that's what I was just about to say. I can think of one tag team.
Yeah.
That would blow the roof off the place if they challenged the Usos.
I think we're on the same page.
It's DIY. You put Gargano and Ciampa back together, and you have them go for the Usos belts, and that would be it. That would be the match.
I'm shocked. I thought you were going to say MSK.
No. Not anybody
who's
currently on. No, because I still don't think anybody who's on current NXT 2.0, I feel like they're still being built up, so they still need to stay there. But I'm thinking if Johnny Gargano came back from his paternity leave, you get Rebel Heart on that mug. Tommaso Ciampa was already on Raw this week. He's kind of doing like a defender of NXT storyline, which is really good. Mm-hmm. But if him and Johnny got back together to form DIY, that would be the injection that the tag team division needs.
I don't think we're getting that. I think Johnny is probably happy wherever he is, doing whatever he is. And it would be surprising to me to see him come back. But I like that idea. I think that's in like the ballpark of something that would be interesting. But the thing is, WWE is not going to do it. And prove me wrong.
Right. Yeah, because Ciampa and Gargano are on a good. I remember they left on a good page when all that went down. If I remember correctly.
I mean, it doesn't even matter if it did because they could always bring them back together. Different.
Exactly. Yeah. That pop they would get if Rebel Heart played, I'm telling you, on an open challenge situation.
But do you remember when they had Ciampa and Gargano on like Raw and SmackDown for like a couple weeks and they basically did nothing?
I don't remember that.
See, that's the problem.
But they probably just had them on there though.
Yeah. But that's, I think, how like maybe they think about them. So that's kind of where I don't think it would go that far. They would probably be closer to having like Bron Breakker and Rick Steiner team than having like Gargano and Ciampa in a meaningful feud on the main roster. I'm not convinced that they'll give them that space, but
yeah, whatever. We've talked about that way too long.
We did.
The Usos. All right. So let's again move on to something that I'm actually very interested in again. We have Naomi and Ronda Rousey versus Sonya Deville and Charlotte Flair. So we talked about it last week. We got the banger from Naomi and Charlotte, which then set up Sonya Deville came in to beat up on Naomi, which set up Ronda, you know, coming to help Naomi. So we got this. I think we even talked about it last week that we got this announcement for this tag match. So I'm excited because I think this will definitely further both storylines without finishing them. Mm-hmm. So I think no matter what, we already know we're getting Charlotte and Ronda at WrestleMania. And I think this will be able to help us get Naomi and Sonya on the card as well.
Yeah.
And this is, I can't remember if I said it on the last episode, but Sonya, you know, wanted to wrestle Ronda when Ronda first came back.
Yeah.
You know, it was a whole Total Divas.
Yeah, I was going to say, I actually saw that. Yeah. Total Divas. Yeah. They had a little feud.
A little like weird. Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
Ronda was mad disrespectful. So
he was like, who is she? Why?
Who is she?
She's like, there's a word.
She's amateur. Used. She said she's an amateur.
Like she's an amateur or like a hobby fighter or like.
Yes, a hobbyist. Like so
Oh hobbyist. My gosh.
She went in on something. Ronda was rude. Crying. Yeah.
Ronda's really rude.
So if Sonya gets to punch Ronda in the mouth, that's awesome. So I'm excited about this match. I think it's just going to be great wrestling from the women.
Yeah, but like, Mari, so a conversation I've heard come up a lot. I don't know if anyone, I think I swear someone asked us this question.
Yeah.
Naomi and Black History Month have a deep relationship, and in that it is essentially the only time that they like to push her. And I've heard this come up a couple times this week, but
really,
do you have thoughts on that? Like, why is she so hot in February?
Get very hot in February. You know what? At this point, it's like,
It's just Naomi.
I don't know. I just hope people aren't boiling her accomplishments down to that, because no matter what, she works hard 100% of the year. And if this is the time that they feel the need to push her, then we got to take what we can get. You know,
yeah, you know what, though? But like at the same time, there are a lot of other people that they're not pushing. There are a lot of other Black stars that they push at different times of the year. Naomi, just like her month is February. You could tell. She's going to she needs to win this match to prove that point. But damn. Yeah, I wonder about that because I've seen it come up. I think it's just coincidence, though. Maybe it has something to do with the fact that it's almost WrestleMania season and she is a good like contender in leading up to things. So I don't know what to think of that, but I did think I had to bring it up.
Okay. So we also got a question here. It turned into a discussion. Very interesting. So Derek asked us, curious of the Sonya of it all. I was under the impression that LGBT athletes pretty much couldn't/shouldn't go to Saudi. It was a big enough deal getting Doudrop there. What are your thoughts on this? I know WWE likes to talk about progress and change a lot, but this seems like a pretty big deal on top of the fact that they have so many 12 women competing across 3 matches on billboards. That was one of the things I found really interesting as well. I was like, we went from like having to get one woman's match on these cards to getting 3 and then one where there's 6 women in it. Like, that's crazy. I can't speak to change of a country, you know, I can't speak to any of that because I don't know that portion of that, but the sheer fact that they can get this many women on the card it feels very good for me as a watcher.
Yeah.
Just me as a watcher, I'm glad that there are way more women's matches. Now, what that means for the athletes themselves, you know, I don't know. I looked it up and, it is. So the from what I looked up, the Saudi Arabia's LGBTQ policy is like they don't like homosexual activity is not allowed. But I don't it didn't look like it said anything about like LGBTQ athletes. So I'm my thought process for that is like they're not in the ring doing activities, so they should be fine. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? Like
that'd
I don't
be a whole
know.
Other show.
Right.
But I do think like, you know, one thing I would say is like that, you know, in terms of this question, I think it's a great question. We're also not the probably not the best people to ask in terms of like geopolitical affairs. I just interviewed Kevin McLean and Nigel Bocanegra, and they are like international affairs experts. So like hit them up, ask them. They'll have a lot more to say. But I will say this, that, you know, the like I think that there's look, I don't know what I'm talking about, but I would imagine that, you know, there might be some double standards here, like or multiple double standards, like one, like these are women and you know, like we treat like gay women different than we do gay men, for instance, or like LGBT men. But then also like these are American women. So there's that as a factor too. Like they're not Saudi women or Saudi people. So I just think that there's a lot to sort through. The one thing though I do want to comment on that I have like maybe not probably a great understanding of, but just like in terms of behavioral change, which is something that like comes up in my work, or at least that I've spent some time like learning about over the last several years, is that I would be really interested to see WWE like actually try to track its impact in Saudi Arabia. I feel like it's probably minimal, but like it's kind of BS for them to claim that they're having an impact when they're not actually measuring that impact. Like, are there less instances of like violence against against women in particular? Because they're always talking about women and hope. Are there less? You know, I don't know. I have questions, but they don't have answers. And so I'm not willing to say that they're actually making progress.
No,
because
yeah.
they're not in any measurable way. And that's kind of dangerous to claim that like putting out these women as like in a really performative way is actually making a difference. Because it's
is WWE claiming that?
Well, WWE is always saying like we're changing. I don't know how they phrase it, but they are talking about how like putting women in Saudi matches is like leading to empowerment for women in Saudi, and like
or
even giving hope, which like they I don't think that they're actually measuring these things or like tracking these things in any way.
So, I mean,
I don't want to give them credit is all I'm saying, because I don't really think it's having an actual impact.
A sporting event having an impact on
one time, like that show. Yeah, like it shows up highly like unlikely. Twice a year. Basically.
Yeah, highly unlikely. So, I mean, and that's what I'm saying. Like from the standpoint for what that country is doing, I have no clue.
No,
now, am I excited to see these matches? I sure am.
I am too. Yeah, and we'll see. I always do feel like when I watch, though, like someone I know commented about like what they're wearing. I've heard there's so many different takes about how people feel about this. And like that, I will say, is something that kind of gets me out of it when I'm like, oh, everyone's wearing T-shirts. That throws me off. OK.
Yeah, it's not what
it's a reminder where we are
used to. Yes, exactly. It is it's a visual reminder. But if that's what it takes for them to be able to perform safely and not getting like backlash, I would prefer that for their, you know, their safety. It's so hard because it's like you cannot just bust into other countries like country and be like, change all this up, you know?
No, but like I think that this has been a healthy discussion. Yeah. Where we're like, yeah, the things that we don't know.
Yeah.
And it's so complicated.
And we still talk about it. Every time we have these events, yeah. It's really hard. It's still really hard to watch because you feel like mm-hmm. you're supporting things that you might not necessarily be supporting.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of one of those things where you're kind of like the equivalent of like tweets do not equal endorsements type deal, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's hard. It's Damn. So rough. I know.
And yet we're getting this match, this hopefully phenomenal match. Naomi, Ronda, Charlotte, Sonya.
I think the yeah. good guys kind of have to get the win here. So I'll go with Naomi and Ronda winning.
Well, you know what? I like where you're coming from, mm-hmm. but I don't want to go with the same prediction. So that's like one thing. But also, I could see a world where Charlotte and Sonya win here because I don't really see Charlotte it's keeping the possible. Championship at Mania.
Yeah.
And also, assuming that we see Naomi and Sonya at Mania, I don't see Sonya winning. So I'm actually going to go with Charlotte and Sonya with the I don't believe it, but that's going to be.
If they win, that means Naomi's taking the pin, though. Right.
And we were just talking about Black History Month.
I know. Again, down bad. We're down bad.
And then it's in Saudi Arabia. So, like, does that suspend Black History Month rules? I don't know how the book works, but I'm going to go with the Charlotte Sonya thing just so that one of us is right.
Definitely. Yeah. Drew, we get next Ooh. Up, we have Drew McIntyre versus Madcap Moss. False count anywhere. Drew McIntyre is going to whip Madcap Moss's butt all up and down that arena. Like, there's no other ifs, ands about it. That's it. I mean, because I think the reason we're getting this is more than likely we're leading to like a Drew versus Baron at WrestleMania or something. People are saying so. I don't know.
Oh, that's not fun.
That's not fun at all. Poor Drew.
I thought Drew was supposed to take time off.
And, I thought so too. I don't.
You know, he should take that time.
Why come back? Yeah, why come back for the?
He's good. He's
still going over this inner. Yeah,
he does get that. He does get injury. That money. He gets that money.
That's true.
That paycheck. Actually, I don't know people's bank accounts and pockets. I'm not going to try to understand that. Yeah. But look, he's not losing money by doing this.
This is true. So, yeah, I think Drew McIntyre comes in on top.
Great, yeah.
And then finally, we get Rey Mysterio versus The Miz. Yeah. The only really funny thing about this was this week we got Rey Mysterio. We got Rey and Dominic versus Alpha Academy, and then Miz came, you know, mm-hmm. and hit a skull crushing finale after. Yeah. But last week was very hilarious because the Miz basically questioned Dominic's paternity to his face. He said, "Are you sure?" He's like, "You're a little tall. Are you sure you're not Eddie's son?" Which was very kind of hilariously Miz. And we did get Dominic versus Miz last week. So I would hope Rey Mysterio wins here, even because the Miz did the Miz and Maurice beat Edge? No, they didn't beat Edge. So maybe the Miz gets it here, the win.
Maybe Rey gets it. I don't know.
Yeah, it feels like either or, but I'm going to go with Miz.
Let me go with Rey.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, yeah. It's just a cute setup. I think this is just a great, like, Rey Mysterio is a legend, but he's a mm-hmm. full-time legend, so that's why you don't, like, you kind of forget. But this has been good. It's been a great pivot from it did feel weird. I was like, Miz, weren't you just feuding with Edge? And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, nope, we're moving on to Rey Mysterio. I'm picking on Rey Mysterio now.
Yeah. Keep it all in the family, though. I like how he's like all about the, I don't know why he wants these family feuds to go.
Right.
Maybe he wants to be the host of Family Feud.
That would be good. He'd be good. Yeah. But we still keep getting these weird, not weird, but just visionettes of how close Dominic and Rey are. And Are we gonna get a turn at any point? Do we need? I don't think we need like a Dominic turning on Rey. I don't. They could kind of keep that for me because.
Oh my gosh.
That's what I just
saw. I had a moment again. I just saw the vision again. I don't know. I think I have like some powers or something. I'm having like a Raven kind of podcast tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Mari, I said I think Rey is going to win. Yeah. Here's what I'm seeing. Here's the vision. So Miz wins. Somehow this leads to a feud between Rey and Dominic going into Mania. And then we get that match on the card. And there's not going to be a lot of build. No. And but like what else would make sense for Rey and Dominic at Mania?
That would be it would be a good match, but I would just be very like it's because I would assume you'd have to assume it would be Dominic being like, I don't need you anymore, a la good like Charlotte versus Ric Flair type of thing, like turning on his dad. Which is like, it's fine, but you have to know where you're going to go. Like, it's turn Dominic and then not have anything for him after the Rey match, you know?
Yeah.
Like you, and then also you'd have to, I would hope that he would turn everything. Like again, you drop the last name. He would start wearing his own, like a different set of gear. Like you would have to go full on into it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't pull a Nikki A.S.H. where now she's supposed to be a bad guy, but she's still wearing bright superhero colors. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like you would have to literally go all in. If we're doing this, go all in. And then what do you do with Dominic after that?
That's right. That's right. Mm-hmm. And we'll see. I mean, the worst case scenario from my perspective would be like this. So we referenced the potential Miz Maurice, Brandy, Cody. I actually don't think I don't believe that's happening anymore. It'd be nice to see that at Mania just because, but like, it doesn't sound like Brandy's joining WWE. So we'll see if it's actually true or not. We'll see if any of that's true. But worst case scenario might be Dominic becomes like a Damian Sandow. I wish I was joking here, Mari. Dominic as a Damian Sandow, Miz Dow kind of like, let me dress up as Miz instead of as you, Rey. And that's how I'm going to piss you off. Don't want to see it. Don't want to see that.
No, not at all. I would love if like, I wish there were some other superstars, some more like second generation superstars hanging around. Cause I would love a redo of Legacy in a different way. Don't call it Legacy. Do something else. You know,
I've always wanted that. And
I love when they do wish stuff like that.
I wish that like, I don't know that we could dream one day. They've attempted stuff like that. Like they had Legacy. They also had like what
the heart
is the heart new, found. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're on the exact same page. The Heart Dynasty. Yeah, so we've gotten that, but like they could do so much more.
They could. I and would you know what?
Throw Charlotte in with them in there too, because she doesn't need anything to do with that championship.
Mm. Kind of wish maybe if they had the clones come back, they could kind of be like a Dominic's like and his like bodyguards or whatever.
The women have a lot of this is not related to Dominic, but like the women alone have like some solid second, third generation people.
Very true.
Put them together. I don't know. There's a lot. I mean, we did also see Tamina and Natty, which I should like probably acknowledge in this context, but whatever.
And I'm not going to like, I'm definitely not going to take up any time with this, but on Raw, did you see that 24/7 champion spot with like Dana Brooke
Justice
and Reggie?
For Dana. That was disrespectful.
Dana Brooke and Reggie were at like a meal, and then of course R-Truth comes on with a fake mustache pretending to be a waiter. That wasn't even the funniest part because it's like you saw that coming. R-Truth has done that so many times. But when Reggie kind of pushed R-Truth and said, run, Dana, Dana got up and run, and then all of a sudden Tamina had the glasses and the shawl, and she stood up and started. I had to rewind that. I was dying laughing. I was like, why is this so funny that Tamina is trying to beat up Dana Brooke in a costume?
But this is like the funny, this is like the best. It's so sad too because it's the 24/7 championship, but like I'm a I don't know if I could call myself a Dana Brooke fan. I'm just going to pull up this image from the segment you referenced just because on our YouTube version here. But I just wish that the 24/7 championship were more over because this seems to be the most meaningful thing. I'm not saying this is like shade or to drag her, but this seems to be like the most meaningful thing that Dana has done, maybe other than managing Charlotte Flair at the very start of her main roster career.
Is there another picture? Because I want it, because this is, if you're watching the YouTube, this is that was them at dinner, right? And then it's just them. And if you look in the background of the picture Matt just had up, there was nobody sitting at that table.
No.
We'll see if you can pull up the other picture. It was really funny. And then, but what ended up happening was Reggie took the belt off of Dana Brooke. This has nothing to do with Elimination Chamber, but it was just very quite hilarious to me.
Disrespectful. And no, if anyone finds Tamina out on those, oh my gosh, what is going on here, Mari? These people, you know what? They are hilarious. They're hilarious with these segments. I don't know why they do any of this, but I did find a picture of R-Truth at doing
the waiter
thing, and it's. I'm gonna stop stalling because I'm scrolling through like a page. This it's not worth page. It. If you want to see it, go to like WWE.com or actually we'll add it to the playlist.
Yeah,
so you could check it out. That'll make life easier.
All right, so that's it. We just talked for a very long time about the Elimination Chamber match. So let's just throw in one more ad break. One more ad break. We'll be right back. So we also had NXT Vengeance Day. You know, we're running on time. So I just want to say, we did get MSK versus the Creed Brothers in the Dusty Classic Finals. And of course, the Creed Brothers won. It's a really good match. Very expected. Vengeance Day overall was pretty good, but it did kind of feel a little rushed.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of the thing with these NXT, again, I don't, what do you call them? Premium live events, pitbull shows. Like, I don't know what you call it. But because it's still just on at NXT time, it's still the same allotted time of 2 hours. So some of the matches did feel a little rushed. Including like the Pete Dunne, Tony D'Angelo match opened it, like weaponized steel cage match. It felt like it felt like it needed a few more minutes, but, still not too bad. Here's a picture of the Creed Brothers Matt has up. Good for them. I don't know why I like them.
They are really good. And they were, the fans were really into them and they just have the intensity. And it's funny because I remember maybe last week, seeing a clip and even this week seeing like something with their match, it reminded me of somebody. They kind of have like Kurt Angle intensity, and I don't know if that's just me saying that because of the singlets or what, but they and it's really like, how is their finish a like this clothesline to it's a clothesline and it's actually like looks kind of brutal and like you don't want to be hit with that.
Yeah.
Which is notable. I don't know. There's something about them.
And and Imperium, you know, came out. So it just furthers again the Imperium versus the Creed Brothers storyline here. And then so a lot of people were kind of talking about that the Bron Breakker match, like the Bron Breakker versus Santos Escobar match. People were confused why the crowd was booing Bron Breakker, but apparently it's because in the NXT like crowd loves Santos. Like,
that's interesting.
Yeah, it was a serviceable match. Definitely not to me. Not the best of the night. Personally, I thought it was like
you're like just, some would say it's serviceable. Not me.
No. I mean,
yeah. No. I know what you mean. It definitely wasn't the best of the night. Bron Breakker can't have a great night every night. It was fine.
And it's just, I think what it just truly suffered for is we knew Escobar wasn't going to win.
Yeah.
More than anything.
Yeah. And you know, I felt like this was a clean finish. And were all of the matches on the card from NXT Vengeance Day all clean finishes? Because I feel like even I know with the Creed brothers, it was a clean finish.
Trick kind of got in the Carmelo Grimes, but not much.
Yeah, that's kind of what it was. Yeah, because like Carmelo won with the, we didn't talk about that
diving, long, leg,
like, diving
drop.
Leg drop. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't feel like anyone had like a weapon screw job finish. I mean, you know, and so interesting. I just think they kind of were like, let's keep going with what we have going on was a lot of what I felt like the show was. It was the most exciting.
I think that was the best match of the night, Carmelo versus Cameron Grimes, mm-hmm. because Carmelo is the A champion. And I was way more invested because I did feel like Cameron Grimes was a suitable contender. But you are just hoping, like, Carmelo just basically got that title. So when you have Trick Williams in your corner, you can do no wrong.
And the way Trick celebrated after the win, it was like he just won the Super Bowl, basically.
Yeah, the Super Bowl.
He was so over the moon, and like, good for him. But damn, yeah, just established, like, even for me,
he's
like,
a star.
He is a star, and he's just like,
both of them.
I think a lot of people might look at him maybe as the supporting character, but I hope that WWE sees that star power. Cameron Grimes, though, in my mind, I never was like big on him and his in-ring work, but the last few weeks especially, he's grown on me, because he's like, has that weird like gimmick where it doesn't seem like he's supposed to be a good wrestler. He seems kind of aloof, but like, that man is actually very impressive, and he has like a very impressive vertical leap to jump. I'm just very, I'm a fan of Cameron Grimes here.
And like you said, he used to wrestle under, what was the name?
Oh, I don't even remember.
His old name was Trevor Lee. So he was big on the independent. TNA, independence. So people used to really like him. So he had a lot of hype. And I think we did say something like this, but like, he had a lot of hype coming into NXT. Mm-hmm. I just remember him being hyped up. And then when he initially came in, I was like, who is this? Like, he really hit his stride with the whole like getting the money, forming the character, the LA Knight. Like, he really is peak right now. Like you said, he's gotten really good now. So good for them. And it was an overall really, just a really good, you know, little pay-per-view event or whatever you call it. So
yeah,
can't complain.
Nope.
I guess I wanted to move on, but
I was going to say,
okay, I was like, I know. The opening of the Vengeance Day, I don't know if you saw it, but the text messaging, like the group text. I was like, what is this?
I saw, not
and
only
why
did
is it
I
my
see
life?
It, I watched it like multiple times because I wasn't expecting it and I wasn't paying close attention at first. And I'm like, what? What are they doing? And I had to like get really close up to my screen. Yeah. Like, what are these texts that they're sending? Who wrote those texts, Mari?
I don't know. But
and
it was
why
really
was
funny.
It like a 70-year-old man who wrote all of those texts? Because
I don't know. It was kind of hilarious to me because so we open Vengeance Day with like Mandy Rose. Like, Mandy Rose is in one location, then Gigi Dolin is in another, and a JC Jane is in another one. And it's a group text, and they're talking about like, who y'all think's gonna win tonight, and they kind of go over each match, but they're really just kind of talking about the men and like, oh, is Carmelo the A champion? And I'm not gonna lie, I was like,
didn't even pass the damn Bechdel test with this segment.
I'm like, I'm hit. This is what me and my girls group chats kind of look like. It's always like, though, you know, you get, it's like the one person asks the question, it's the one person just saying the most like raunchy stuff. It's like, why are you even saying this? Isn't even the conversation we're having. Like,
yeah, but like at the same time, okay, fair. But what do you always like talk about? Do you always say what you're about to text out loud?
Oh, no.
But like in a paraphrased form. That was the awkward part for me. Mandy was like,
I see that.
Oh, I really don't think Carmelo could win. And then the text would be like, Melo is trash. Barf emoji or something. Were they talking out loud or were they? I don't even care anymore. That was a great opening, a very memorable opening to NXT Vengeance Day. And the good news is if you want to go back and watch it, you only have to watch like 2 minutes into the show if you don't.
Yeah,
watch
literally.
And damn, I'm sad. I couldn't find any the images pictures of their group.
I know. I was looking too. But that was funny. Some people found it corny. Some people didn't like it. But I thought that was kind of funny.
It was corny.
It was so weird. It just catches you off guard. You've never seen that.
It's hilarious too.
Yeah.
But look. Good job. Yeah, good on them that they actually had a memorable opening segment, because I can't tell you I couldn't name another one. Exactly. Other than like maybe I think this is they've done a few of these toxic attraction Mandy Rose type of things. And so good for them. I'm happy for them.
All right. So that's it for the highlights of the week. As always, all the highlights of the week can be found in our show notes or show descriptions, either on the YouTube video or on the podcast notes. Just thank you, everybody, for being here. Matt, what do you have coming up?
Wow. What do I have coming up? I have a new episode of Pod Friends coming out this weekend, Sunday night. It's early that we're recording the episodes. Normally I wouldn't announce who the episodes are featuring, but who cares? I'm going to announce it right now on our podcast. Mari, do you want to know who's going to be on the next episode of Pod Friends?
Yeah, sure. Please.
It is going to be none other than, oh man, I feel like I need like a nickname for her. We're just going to call her Kirsten McInnes.
Yay.
Featured on the next Pod Friends, diving in. We had a great conversation. I actually have been sitting on that one for a few weeks because we recorded a few weeks ago. Mm-hmm. But excited for people to hear it, hear more of her story, dive in. There's just a lot there. Again, love featuring the amazing people from the world of RHAP. After Kirsten, there are a couple more interviews for this season of Pod Friends. And other than that, I mean, what else have I been up to? I was on the Celebrity Big Brother recap, much like yourself.
Yeah.
And you know, that's kind of where I am. And also, like, otherwise, you could follow me at Matt Scott GW. I'm mostly like tweeting about work and stuff, but cool things too. So you could check that out, Matt Scott GW. And Mari, where can the people find you?
I was just on the Big Brother, Celebrity Big Brother, season 3, episode Wednesday night episode recap last night. It was me, Rob, Melissa, and Maggie.
Yeah.
So that was, you know, it was fun. Like I said, it was a fun podcast. It was just like we had to deal with the heaviness of Dax passing. But other than that, we talked about an episode of Celebrity Big Brother that was so lackluster, and how the end of this season is just woo-wee.
It's not notable. Good.
It's
notable.
But we were. How else am I on? Well, I'm here on the Wrestling Wrap Up. There will be some more stuff coming. I'm going to pop over on post show recaps. You'll get more information once some stuff comes out. We got some stuff in the pipeline.
Whoa.
So if you want to know all the stuff that I'm doing, just go and follow me on Twitter at Mari Talks Too Much. That's two, like the number two. And I post everything that I do over there. I talk about reality TV. So just go and follow me. And of course, wrestling. So just go ahead and follow me there. And if you want to know what I'm up to, I will always post it there.
Look at that. Booked and busy, and she has surprises to drop, ladies and people, and other people. Lots of people. Yeah, I don't acknowledge any. Well, ladies, non-binary people, and other people who everybody. I don't acknowledge. I don't the gentlemen's. But,
so please rate, review, and subscribe. Give us five stars.
Yes.
Five stars. again, you can go to Rob has a website.com/wrestlingfeed to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
You can.
Shout out to Force of Will on Twitter,
who
is always using the hashtag Wrestling Rehab Up. He keeps us in the loop. We appreciate the support.
Yes, we love it. We love it. We love the tweets. Hit us up. And also thanks to everyone who always submits questions for the podcast while we're at it. It means a lot. We love hearing from you. Mm-hmm. If you didn't get your question in this week, there's always next week.
Exactly. And from me and Matt Scott.
That's us. Wait, is this our closing?
This is the closing.
Okay, I'm not sure. Okay, I'm going to pay close attention.
Okay, remember, wrestling is for everybody, but not all wrestling is for everyone. Good night, everybody.
Night.
Up, lay it down just like Matt Mari. Wrestling over half bucks, gonna make it sorry. Feeling like the Rock, cause I'm driving in Ferraris. And we coming every week, and it's feeling like a party. Full of Ric Flair, huh? Showing out like a young Caballero, huh? Best podcast, flexing in the air, huh? Bummer rings and we win it, don't care, huh? No cap. Throw them up, lay it down just like Matt Mari. Wrestling over half bucks, gonna make it sorry. Feeling like the Rock, cause I'm driving in Ferraris. And we coming every week, and it's feeling like a party.